Open our hearts and open our minds and open our spirits to hear you speak to us tonight. God, guide and direct us in this hour that we may hear your voice. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a familiar story. And one, at times I think that through the years, biblical characters at times get dehumanized, for lack of a better word. They become two-dimensional or even one-dimensional. What do we know about Noah? He built a boat. That's all we know. What do we know about Moses? He climbed a mountain and got 10 commandments. And that's about all we know. And what do we know about Mary? Mary said yes and had a baby. I really like this video clip because for me it helps to rehumanize this story. It helps me to understand that Mary wasn't some superwoman, but just a kid, just a regular young lady trying to get through life who was called to something extraordinary. We know that the angel is asking Mary to do, and we know that she said yes. But tonight I want us to try and get into Mary's story a little bit more, to hear once again just all that Mary may have gone through. And there are several things in this video. I just really like this video clip. And there are several things in here I just want to talk about for a few minutes. How old was the girl in the video clip, do you think? 14, 15? And oftentimes we think Mary was older than that. And the scholars say, oh no. I see the bus pulling up and I think this is an early high school student, probably a high school freshman. She's probably 14, 15 years old. And cultural scholars tell us that that's probably pretty close to how old Mary actually was. Girls in the first century were often given in marriage not long after they became physically capable of having children. And this was especially true of those in the working classes or in the poor. And Mary was working class at best, and probably on the poor side. One scholar reminds us that the term teenager first appeared on the scene in the 1950s. It's that new. As a stage of adolescent development, it wasn't available in the O's. You know, Mary went from childhood to adulthood. There wasn't much in between. And so Mary isn't this holy woman that's been praying for a baby. She's a girl preparing for her marriage. She was a young girl planning a wedding, had been promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, and she and Joseph had agreed to get married and were in this waiting period that lasted probably at least a year, maybe longer. And this was time to apprentice. And this is when you learned to be an adult. And so Joseph was off building the house, their first house that they would live in. Joseph was home on his father's property building a building for them to live in. And he was learning the skills necessary for taking care of a family, for being the man of the house. And at the same time, Mary is home apprenticing from her mother and learning what it means to be a wife and to be a mom, and to do all of the things necessary to take care of the house on her end. Mary may have been thinking about starting a family eventually, but not now. The timing is horrible. And I'm sure Mary wanted to say, I'm not ready. When she says, how could this be? That's what I hear. I'm not ready. Not now. Hey, Gabe, can you come back in a couple of months, you know, when I'm married? Not now. How could this be? The other thing that gets to me with the school bus pulling up is the risk that Mary is taking. Can you imagine what she felt when the test is positive? when she's pregnant and knows she has to go and face the people around her? What do you think? What do you think Mary's feeling? In that smile that she had in that video clip or in the biblical narrative, what do you think Mary's feeling when Gabriel says, "You're going to have a baby"? How's she feeling? Oh, tell me. Fear. Anything else?
Disbelief.
Shame. Okay. Others? Confusion. I think she's kind of happy. I don't know. I think there's some positive here, isn't there? I mean, this is what she's been working towards, you know. Becoming a mom is one of the things that she's been thinking about. The timing's awful, but it is one of those things that she was probably looking forward to. Shame, disbelief, fear, wonder. And then finally, this idea of acceptance. Did you notice the pillow that the girl was holding on to in the very beginning of the skit? It said, "God keeps his promises." And I think Mary was going through both of those things at the same time. On the one hand, yes, God's going to take care of me. On the other hand, this is really bad timing, God, once again. Can't this wait? Can't this happen at a better time? Can you imagine what it would be like? In my years of youth ministry, I've had students become pregnant in the youth group and around the youth group. And how accepting is our society of teen pregnancy? Yeah, we think we are, but live with it once. And boy, we're not. I've actually had parents come to me and say, "Could you tell her not to come to youth group while she's pregnant? Or could you make sure she's not friends with my daughter, because I don't want my daughter getting any ideas?" I've heard these things. And kids that have said, "She doesn't belong here if she's pregnant." And you know what? In the 21st century, that is pretty accepting compared to what happened in the first century. There's a quote from Deuteronomy that should appear on the screen. Maybe not. But it says that if... let me read it to you. "If it turns out that the accusation is true and there is no evidence of the girl's virginity, the men of the town are to take her to the door of her father's house and stone her to death." Death penalty. Mary is facing death when she says yes and knows she's going to be pregnant before she's married. Maybe that's why Joseph decided to take care of things quietly, as the message translates Matthew 1:19. And to simply divorce her. And you'll see a couple of verses later in Deuteronomy, a couple chapters later, it says, "If a man marries a woman and then it happens that he no longer likes her because he's found something wrong with her, he may give her divorce papers and put them in her hand and send her off." So Joseph's trying to do the honorable thing, because he's, in essence, saving her life by not just casting her out. This is big stuff. While Mary is sitting there waiting to see how many lines show up on that pregnancy test, all of this had to be going through her mind. There's risk, and there's fear, and I think there's doubt. Let me just tell you, I like Gabriel in this story a lot. I like the portrayal of Gabriel. And one of them has nothing to do with the sermon, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I like that Gabriel looks more like a linebacker in the NFL than a baby in a diaper, you know? Because so often our angels are these, you know, sweet, you know, the cherubs are the angels. And I think if God shows up with a message, and that's what the word angel means, it means messenger. If God shows up to give you a message, that's an intimidating presence. It's not a baby. It's a big dude, you know? Gabriel was probably a scary guy to show up. And so the first thing he says to Mary is, "Fear not." And isn't it that way for us? There's something about when God speaks. On the one hand, boy, it's so exciting. And on the other hand, it's scary as all get out. Because God doesn't take no for an answer real well. It reminds me of C.S. Lewis in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, when Aslan is resurrected. Aslan the lion is resurrected. And there's this scene, and it's hard to portray in the movie, but Lucy, the little girl, is playing with the lion. They're romping through the forest, and C.S. Lewis writes this: "It was such a romp as no one has ever had except in Narnia." Boy, that didn't come out right. "It was such a romp as no one has ever had except in Narnia. And whether it was more like playing with a thunderstorm or playing with a kitten, Lucy never could make up her mind." And I think if Gabriel shows up, I'm not sure if it's good news or bad news. God's here to tell me something, but it's something that's probably going to change my life and possibly wreck my plans. And that's certainly what it did for Mary. But more to the point of what we're talking about tonight, did you notice that Gabriel never really talks? His mouth never moves? Mary just hears him kind of in her head. This is a miraculous thing of him popping up all over the place, but he never really speaks. She just hears him. And I don't know about you, but for me, that speaks to me because there are times when we can easily dismiss God speaking in our lives. Did that really happen? Is that what he really said? Or am I just making this up? And within a week's time, sometimes the impact of the powerful moment begins to wane, and we wonder if it really happened. We know this experience as well, I think. God rarely comes to us in burning bushes or voices from the clouds or talking donkeys or NFL-looking angels. But God comes in the voice of a friend, or God comes in a recurring thought that we just can't shake, or God speaks to us while we're driving in the car and something just pops into our mind. And it's easy within a couple of days to just kind of dismiss it, explain it away, ignore it. Did that come from God, or did it come from us? See, I really like this video clip because it reminds me of all that Mary must have been going through, the risk that she was called to take, the doubt that she must have had, the fear that came upon her life. The teacher at the end, Margaret Feinberg, asks as the last question, "What is God calling you to do right now?" And that's the question I want to leave you with. What is God calling you to do right now? And do you and I have the courage of that 14-year-old girl to say yes? Some have said that courage is not acting in the absence of fear, but acting in spite of our fear. And I want to add the same thing to doubt. Faith isn't acting without doubt, it's acting in spite of our doubts. It's saying yes to God even when we really want God to reconsider. It's saying yes to God even when we're not sure. It's saying yes to God and doing the thing that God is calling us to do. Like Mary, we might be afraid and excited at the same time. Like Mary, the risk to us might be great. Like Mary, we might be able to dismiss it all as a figment of our imagination. Like Mary, we might be filled with doubts. Like Mary, we might feel ill-equipped to carry it out. Like Mary, we might feel too young or too old or too something else to be the person that God really wants to do this work. In a lot of ways, Mary wasn't the right person. But she said yes. And she was the right person. To what is God calling me? To what is God calling you? Let's not dismiss it. Let's not let the fears or the doubts overcome us. Let's not our brain telling us we're not the right person to do it stop us. May we have the courage to say yes to God's call. "You have nothing to fear," Gabriel said to a poor 14-year-old girl. God has a surprise for you. It's quite an understatement. But But I think God's saying the same thing to each of us. When we say yes, God has quite a surprise in store for us. Mary said yes. How about us? Let's pray. You know, sometimes, God, it's super easy to just kind of let all of the negative get in front of what you're asking us to do. The fact that we don't feel like we're equipped to carry it out, or the doubts and fears that of the risk that come to us. Yet, God, we know that all things are possible with you. And so, God, I pray that you will help us to clear the clutter, that we might hear your voice in our lives, that we might hear that thing to which you are calling us. It may be something grand, or it could be something simple. And God, we pray. Now we pray for the courage and the strength of Mary to simply say that we are yours and we trust you. Use us as you will. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.